He's not setting up a school just to teach them the theory of God's plan. This is bigger. This is on a grand scale. This is much more profound. Jesus is aiming to change people's eternity. His message would change the world, change the direction of nations, shape civilizations. Jesus' aim was not just to give some people some rules, sort of like a top-down situation. Here are some rules, they'll filter down to you and you follow them. But rather, he wanted to change people from the inside out by coming and touching their lives, bringing the Holy Spirit, starting them in this relationship with God, to change hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And so Jesus came bringing the presence of God to earth in a way that had never happened before. Jesus came to empower people to live differently with the Holy Spirit within them. And Jesus did this by calling disciples, come and see what I'm doing. Come and be part of what I'm doing. And then tell others. Share that good news with them. And so we read, and this call is in the light of verse 15. We read, the time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent. Believe the good news. And so here's the sense of the right time. And Jesus is working to a timetable, to God's timing. And this timetable creates a sense of urgency in what he's saying. And we noted last week that for Mark would use this word immediately, and something would happen, and then immediately something else, and immediately. This is the way that Mark writes and keeps the story moving on. And we see this urgency even in the verses we have looked at today. At once, they left their nets and followed him. And then in the next paragraph, without delay, he called them. The time has come, at once, without delay. You have the sense of pace in what's happening as Mark describes his story. But Jesus is the Lord of eternity. And as such, you would think he would have all the time in the world. And yet, time is of the essence. No time to waste. The time has come. Do we share Jesus' sense of urgency? Jim Dennison wrote, in the Bible, God is king. In our culture, he is a hobby. If God is king, then there must be action around what the king wants to happen. But if God is just a hobby, then we pick it up and put it down whenever, however, it might please us. But Jesus was clearly a man on a kingdom mission. And he describes that mission as fishing for men. And this is what we see him doing. Throughout the whole of the gospel, you can see Jesus reaching out to people and seeking to draw them in. Straight away, Jesus calls followers and explicitly states within the invitation, come follow me and I will send you to fish for people. The work of the kingdom of God is to fish for people. When I began my ministry at Greyfriars almost 8 years ago now, I asked God for a vision to help me. And he said to me, Greyfriars is like a ship set sail. This ship that is set sail is not a luxury cruise liner. It's a fishing boat. And we have been called to be part of what Jesus is doing by going out and fishing with him for others. With Jesus, once you are caught, you join the crew and you're given the task of calling others. One of the lovely pictures in the Old Testament in Hosea, where God is speaking about the people of Israel, he says, I drew you with cords of love. And Jesus' fishing net is made of love. That's the bait. That's what he uses to reach out to people. So Jesus is calling others and sending them out on mission. And this reveals something interesting about himself and about God's kingdom, is that Jesus is creating a community of people together. He wasn't, in a sense, a lone ranger who headed out to do this all by himself, but a team builder. And he brings people into this community, the family of God, sisters and brothers, all God's children. And at the beginning of the ministry, he involves people, and this continues to this day, he involves us not in busy work, trivial, meaningless jobs to keep us occupied until he returns, but instead he calls them in and us into the central part of the kingdom work in action of fishing for others. Here at Greyfriars, we aim to be Christ-centered and Bible-based. We spoke of those things a bit last week. Also mission-oriented and people-related. We are oriented, inclined towards mission. We seek to be relational and connected and in fellowship with others. And this is one of the best bits of being part of the church. The connections that we have with people, the relationships that we build with people, the way that we work together in our growth groups or our teams, the things that we do as a family of God in this place, part of the bigger, wider family. As members of God's family, we're all involved in the family business, reconciliation, reaching people with God's love, inviting them to the family of faith. And the way that people become disciples, as Jesus described in his message, was repent, believe the good news, come follow me, I'll send you to fish for people. This doesn't always happen in this order with people's lives, but all of these things will be there. You see, a disciple is not a special category of Christian. Every Christian is a disciple. Every Christian, a disciple, student, follower of Jesus, learning from him and applying those lessons in our lives. Not Christian theory just to be tucked away in our minds, but Christian life to be lived. But becoming a disciple is not easy. It can be challenging. It can be confrontational. It's not easy for a person of today to become a disciple. In reality, it has never been easy. The speed with which in Mark's gospel, Simon, Andrew, and John leave their nets gives a picture of a quick and easy choice to follow Jesus. And while Mark is giving us the facts, he's not giving us all the facts. And you find out more as you look in the other Gospels. John wrote in his Gospel that he and Andrew had previously heard about Jesus from John the Baptist, spent a day with him, and became convinced that he was the Messiah, and Andrew had gone back and told his brother Peter. And then Luke adds, and we looked at this story a bit more today, that Jesus went to the fishing boats, taught from them, spoke to Peter, who had been unable to catch fish through the night, and said, okay, go fishing. Reluctantly, Peter did so, and we read, where we're giving this more information, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Perhaps that could be a part of our prayer in the sense of going fishing with the Lord. Wouldn't it be good if both our boats were so full that they were at breaking point? That both our church sites were so filled with people coming. Make that a prayer. Make that a prayer. So Peter and his brother Andrew and the partners who helped them witnessed this miraculous catch of fish. Peter realized Jesus was more than a mere man, and these fishermen immediately dropped everything to go and follow Jesus. What have we dropped or left behind so we can follow Jesus? Later in this gospel, Jesus would say, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross daily, and follow me. Because discipleship is costly and it is difficult. And not everyone who came to Jesus stayed with Jesus. We can think of the story of the rich young ruler. We can think of the times the crowds came to Jesus and then left him just as quickly. At an extreme, some saw Jesus as such a threat, such an enemy, they had him put to death. Discipleship is difficult and it's challenging, in part because Jesus calls people to repent. And repentance isn't easy. I know this, you know this. Repentance, admitting that you're wrong, admitting guilt, not only confessing the sin, but admitting that we are sinners. It's turning away from that sin, turning towards God. You know, it really doesn't matter if you were a person living in Jesus' day or a person living in our modern age. Repentance is hard. Part of our human problem is that we tend to evade, to deny, to dodge, to blame, rather than to repent. Part of this human problem is our reluctance to take ownership for our own wrongdoing. It's hard because it means when we repent, we stop hiding from God and we stop deluding ourselves about the sin in our lives. Repentance includes sorry, but is more than simply being sorry. It includes a change of heart, but it's more than just a change of heart. It's turning towards God. That sounds like it should be easy. But most people find it hard. You see, when you have turned from God, denied Him, hidden from Him, disobeyed Him, defied Him, it isn't easy then to turn around and face Him. We don't always know what to expect. And sometimes we think we're going to find there an angry God. God's words through Jeremiah give us an insight into repentance. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions. And that isn't easy. To repent is to change our way of life, to change our orientation from ourselves towards God. It's to be able to echo what we find in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. There's so much more that could be said about repentance, but for now we acknowledge it's not easy. Believing the good news, that's also quite a challenge. Hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah wrote about the coming Messiah and said, who has believed our message? Who has believed our message? This question seems just as relevant today. A suffering, rejected Messiah that Isaiah wrote about, pierced for our sin, crushed for our evil. This is an incredible story, which in human terms is hard to believe. That God would humble Himself, come in human flesh, and allow us to show the worst of our inhumanity towards Him, this is an incredible story of amazing grace. And in Mark's gospel, we're invited on a journey towards belief as we read about Jesus. Mark begins with this challenge, believe the good news. And we see Peter and others journeying towards us. Initially, Peter on his knees, "Lord, I don't deserve to know you." And Jesus calling him. And Peter hearing Jesus' teaching, seeing it firsthand, seeing Jesus' miracles changing his life. When you get to the middle of Mark's gospel, we then reach a critical moment where Jesus turns to the disciples and says to them, "What about you? Who do you say I am? What do you believe? What do you believe about me?" And Peter answered on their behalf, "You are the Christ." Peter confesses his belief in Jesus as God's anointed. Peter knows heart, mind, and soul that Jesus is the Christ. And then later in his life, when he stands up to preach and he's talking to people about the goodness of Jesus, and the people ask him, "What shall we do?" Peter responds with a challenge for them, asking them to believe, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." In Jesus' day and in our day, many people simply don't, can't, or won't believe this good news. The good news is hard to believe. It requires faith. However, I think many people will be more open to this if a Christian friend comes alongside them and shines the light of the gospel into their lives through what they say and through what they do. Perhaps with gentle clarity, having some spiritual conversations. I don't know if you would agree, but I think in 2020, one of the most likely dictionary words of the year is going to be crisis. We have a bushfire crisis, a housing crisis, a mental health crisis, environmental crisis, crisis with plastic, an extinction crisis, crisis with democracy, world leadership crisis, a crisis in the Middle East, and on a more personal level, many people are having their own crises, financial, relational, gender fluidity, emotional. And I think as people evaluate all these things in our modern age, the troubles and the tensions, that if a Christian comes alongside and speaks to them and shows them the kindness of God, the one who can bring peace, then I think they will be more and more open. I began by asking you to consider how, when, and where did you receive the call to be a disciple of Jesus? And now I ask you just to think, why? Why did he call you? Why did Jesus call you? Now we might answer, because he loves me and he wants me to be with him through eternity. And that is true. But it's not all the truth. Particularly at the beginning of Mark's gospel, we find a more challenging answer. He chose to send you on a fishing trip. He chose you, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." With the sending of the 12 disciples, then the 72 disciples, then in the Great Commission, sending all disciples to go and make more disciples. This is what we're called to do. Now, how we fulfill this mission will differ from person to person, using your personality, your skills, your gifts. But one thing that we all have in common is this: we are sent. We are all sent. You are sent. That's a part of your God-given purpose in life. If you feel you lack a purpose in life, this is part of what God gives to you. Your purpose is to go and make disciples. Here at Greyfriars, as Melanie mentioned earlier, our mission is to help people know and follow Jesus. The biblical term for a person who knows and follows Jesus is disciple. And we want to be disciples and help others to be disciples. With that in mind, in mid-February, again, as Melanie was saying, we're going to have our redemptive family course. It's going to help to unite us as a family. It's going to help us to embrace God's redemptive plan together. It's going to help us to build spiritually redemptive relationships with others. It's going to help us to practically work to shape a godly future for our church. And as we do this, we're going to be able to gain confidence together who we are in God's family. Confidence to have spiritual conversations, making space in our church family for others, and contributing to the direction of the church life through the workshop at the end of this course. And so I want to commend to you and encourage you, take part in this with your brothers and sisters here in the faith. Even before it begins, think about what it means for you to be sent out to fish for people. Perhaps as we leave the church today, we should put a sign on the church door. And as we commit ourselves to Jesus, repenting and believing and following Him, being sent by Him, we can flourish, we can thrive as a spiritually healthy church. So let's commit ourselves to this, to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Ian and the team are going to lead us in song.